Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, some breaking bombshell news regarding the 2020 election voter integrity, voter fraud issues from Georgia. We have John Solomon join us, and we cover some other very important stories, including the border, here on the Charlie Kirk Show. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. We're building a new studio. We're expanding. We're doing 3 hours live every single day and some big announcements coming soon, some more markets and more places that we're going to be broadcasting to. I want to thank Helen from Georgia. Thank you for your support. Chad from Georgia. Stuart from Iowa, Damian from Washington, Jennifer from California, Gordon from California, Liza from Kentucky, Stephen from Arizona, Matthew from Texas, George from Colorado, Cheryl from California, Matthew from Arizona, Alan from California, Sharon from Louisiana, and Julie from Minnesota. CharlieKirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting behind the work we are doing. Make sure you are actually subscribed to the show. You might be listening to the show as a one-off. Someone might have texted to you. If you're listening to it on an Apple podcast, subscribing, you hit that plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. It helps us so much to continue to grow, strengthen, and remain uncanceled by the corporatist media. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we exist to help pass down American values to future generations, where we fight for your children and your children's education, go to tpusa.com, start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest grassroots organization dedicated to making sure that your children live in a free country. It's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. If you are driving right now, maybe you're doing errands, here's my advice to you. Go plan a couple more errands because you're going to want to listen to the entire hour here. So how many times have you heard from left-wingers or from the media propagandists that what happened on January 6th was an insurrection? Now, it was more like a trespassing and property destruction event. Again, we are very clear on the day that it happened, and we're clear today. We don't like what happened that day. I think people that are smashing windows of our U.S. Capitol, they go get a life, honestly. However, the treatment of many of them and the violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution has been flagrant. Some prisoners are just literally being left to die. And in the third hour of this program, we have Ben Weingarten from the Federal – no, not from the Federalist, from Real Clear Politics, right? He used to be at the Federalist, though. Is that right? Okay. But you've heard many times, it's an insurrection. It's an insurrection. It's an insurrection. And it started to make sense why they've wanted to focus on that word. First of all, you got to give it to the propagandists. Great branding. I mean, they went straight for the top level, right? Not a riot. Not a mob. No, they went, boom, insurrection. Now, let's start with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Department of Justice have failed, and they have decided to walk away with trying to press any singular person with an insurrection charge. Jonathan Turley wrote about this extensively, that the FBI basically has come up empty, trying to argue that it was an insurrection. This is all the way back from August. Jonathan Turley wrote, quote, that it's easier to excuse a response to an insurrection than a violent protest. The point was expressly made by former U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund. Quote, this was not a demonstration. This is not a failure to plan for a demonstration. This is a planned coordinated attack on the U.S. Capitol. Okay. Well, Jonathan Turley continues by saying that these people were rioters, not insurrectionists. And calling them rioters does not minimize what they did or undermine the legitimacy of their punishment, which I agree with. However, there is wisdom and even the chance for resolution when we call things by their proper name. Now, the significance of this is that why, despite the fact that no one has been charged with insurrection, why does the media keep on saying, well, there's two answers to this, the obvious and the not so obvious. The obvious is that they want to try to turn public opinion against Republicans because it is the most incendiary. It is the best branding that one could get to try to justify the security state, the clampdown of freedom and liberties, and to be used as almost a nonstop commercial on cable television to try to tell people not to vote for Republicans. Okay, we know that part. But the second part is not so obvious. And it's interesting and horrifying. A new article for the Communist Rag, otherwise known as The Nation, thenation.com, says Representative Cori Bush is right in her read of the Constitution. Officials who give aid and comfort to insurrectionists must be removed from their positions. And the title of the article is To Avert Another January 6th, Expel Coup Plotters from Congress. So you read this article. Basically, Cori Bush back in January of last year introduced a resolution in Congress saying that any member of Congress, it's called HR Resolution 25, quote, we should commemorate the one-year anniversary of January 6th by passing HR 25 to investigate and expel the members of Congress who helped incite the violent insurrection at our Capitol. And you might think, okay, this is just kind of normal chatter. But then you actually go into the U.S. Constitution itself, which we're big fans of. We have our Constitution always handy right here, brought to you by Turning Point USA. You guys can get your Constitution. I think it is the best Constitution, by the way. It's just informative. It's colorful. Isn't it great, Connor? It's a beautiful Constitution. And you actually go straight into the Constitution. It says that no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or any office holder, civil or military, under the United States or any state who have previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or engaged in the United States to shall have engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Cori Bush and the media and the Democrats in the House, they want to try to disqualify entire groups and members of Congress. They want to disqualify Marjorie Taylor Greene. They've already kicked her off Twitter. Why not kick her out of Congress? Paul Gosar of Arizona. Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Mo Brooks from Alabama. Madison Cawthorn, friend of mine. Andy Biggs, a good man. Louis Gohmert, another good man. They want to try to kick them all out of Congress by calling them insurrectionists. It's funny how when the climate protesters took over the Senate building 2 years ago, they were never called insurrectionists, when they just stormed the Senate building. But no, the reason they're calling them insurrectionists, of course, it creates a nice little good headline, but also it can get them to get the drumbeat for expulsion of members of Congress that they don't like. Now, look, Cori Bush is an intellectual lightweight, okay? I wouldn't put her in the category of people that think about the deeper things in life, right? Cori Bush is a typical BLM sympathizing member of Congress, similar to Ayanna Pressley and AOC and kind of the squad, if you will. However, there is a plan that is being concocted here. And the deeper plan is if we're able to convince people this is an insurrection, we can expel members of Congress that we don't like. And this is why it's so important for us to make the argument that this was not an insurrection. Activists have now latched on to the provision in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment called the Disqualification Clause, which was written after the 39th Congress in December of 1865, and many members were shocked to see Alexander Stevens, the Confederate vice president, waiting to take a seat with the array of other former Confederate senators and military officers. if you peel back a letter, a layer from January 6th, when you go a step deeper, when you go a level deeper, you really realize January 6th, which is coming up tomorrow, we're going to be doing a whole kind of remembering kind of what happened, the truth from fiction from yesterday, because there's a lot of it, right? And even if you go into the New York Times on reporting, they debunk some of the narratives that they put forward. All of a sudden, you take a step back. This is critical. This is a core staple to the aims and the ambitions of the continued domestic war against conservatives being launched by the Biden regime. Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So there's so many stories I still want to get to here. I want to talk a little about the border. 2 million. 2 million people crossed illegally in the southern border in 2021. It's an invasion. It's that simple. It's an invasion of our republic. Border encounters in Yuma are up 2,405%. Play cut 31.
Well, it's not surprising because in 2019, if we go back for a little history, we were having a similar surge during the Trump administration. And there were policies put in place that mitigated those numbers to nearly, below 10,000 a year. The first thing that happened in January of last year was those all went away. And when those went away, the numbers just started climbing right away. And it's just been building this momentum.
Now, we've been pretty vocal in regards to Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott, though, has come out and he has told his National Guard in Texas, Biden is not their commander in chief. And he sues the White House over unconstitutional military vaccine mandate. And he's willing, hopefully, to use more Texas troops on the southern border as the invasion continues. Cut 30, Fox News reports that a Border Patrol agent was shot at from Mexico while trying to apprehend an illegal. Play cut 30.
2022 picking up right where 2021 left off here at the border, beginning with a border agent being shot at from Mexico on New Year's Day. Thankfully, the agent wasn't hit, but it is now being investigated by both CBP and the FBI.
Who is actually invested in fixing the southern border issue? We had Kari Lake on our program yesterday, who's running for governor of Arizona. 2 million people. For the first time ever, we have more fentanyl seizures than opioid seizures. And both are flowing across the border. Most fentanyl actually comes from China. I have some questions, though. Are we testing illegals for COVID? Are we mandating vaccines for them? No, illegals get free chartered flights after they cross the interior of the border to Pennsylvania, to Florida, to any place of their liking. Where the citizens, us, have to go through all of these different measures. We're not allowed to go to our own restaurants, but Mexicans coming illegally into America can do whatever they want. Play cut 27, Fox News' William Lajeunesse reports on suspected terrorist apprehended at the border that was wearing a volunteer ambulance jacket. Play cut 27.
The 21-year-old Saudi with links to Middle Eastern subjects of interest was caught sneaking in on Thursday outside Yuma. He wore a Central New York volunteer ambulance jacket. No one knows exactly how he got it, but it does show anyone from anywhere is crossing the southern border. In fact, Yuma is so overwhelmed, few agents are actually on patrol. I am told by officials that Brazilians and Venezuelans are hiring Ubers and taxis to turn themselves in at a station miles away to get their release papers faster.
Good for Julio Rojas. I just endorsed Julio's book. He's always on the front lines. Good for him. He does a great job. Lieutenant for Texas Department of Public Safety says that we have trouble building their own border walls because the federal government owns the land and will not allow them to build on it. Basically, Biden is paying for the wall not to be constructed. He wants the border to remain open. We've been through the reasons why. He wants it for cheap labor. He wants it for Democrat votes. He wants it for the erosion and deterioration of national sovereignty. If our media was even remotely honest, New York Times, they'd be mentioning the fact that we were invaded by 2 million foreign nationals this last year, record number. Won't hear much about that. Play cut 29.
So again, we're taking those proactive measures. But one thing I can tell you, though, that's very challenging is some of those areas, some of those land is federal property. So we cannot take any type of enforcement action. We can't construct any barriers or any type of border wall because the federal government won't allow it.
Federal government won't allow it. It's time for the states to draw a line and take the sovereignty back. It's what some people running for governor in Arizona are talking about. It's what Greg Abbott is talking about. Biden is participating in the intentional opening of our borders and destruction of our sovereignty. On a daily basis, people are being inundated with ads for overpriced boxers with some sort of slick ad campaign, and some would say innuendos. Personally speaking, I prefer to keep this topic very private, but I'm happy to tell you about a company that has a great product and shares our values. I want to tell you about UnderTack, the only men's basic brand that is unapologetically Christian, pro-American, pro-military, very, very proud pro-2A. They put comfort and functionality first by integrating a quick-release fly and secret pocket in extra-wide waistband for cash or tactical necessities. They're also antibacterial, anti-pilling, and the moisture-wicking fabric is super soft and comfortable. UnderTack is durable, fade-resistant, shrink-resistant, and ultra-lightweight. Here's the best part. They're 30% less expensive than the competition. Go to UnderTack.com. That's UnderTack with a C.com. Right now, as a special Christmas offer, get 20% off with the offer code KIRK20. That's K-I-R-K, number 20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get UnderTack.com. That's UnderTack.com. Promo code KIRK20 for 20% off.
With us right now is a friend of mine. He does a great job from Just the News. I read his website every day, and I get his briefing every night. John Solomon. John, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. How you doing?
Great to be with you, Charlie.
Great. And so, John, you've been really leading on this story. We posted about it today on our social channels, which has been really opening a lot of people's eyes. It's on justthenews.com. I want to read the headline so people can get it. Georgia opens investigation into possible illegal ballot harvesting in the 2020 election. What's going on in Georgia?
Oh, what a difference a year is make. It was about a year ago this time when Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, went on 60 Minutes and said, I think we had a fair and safe and secure election. Since that time, a lot of revelations have occurred. We found out that Brad Raffensperger actually had a lot of serious concerns about mismanagement and irregularities in Fulton County, Atlanta, the largest voting metropolis in Georgia. And then on November 30th, an earthquake arrived in the Georgia Secretary of State's office. A group called True the Vote, run by Catherine Engelbrecht, good conservative woman, she filed a complaint with extraordinary detailed evidence. What does the complaint say? There are millions of minutes of security footage, surveillance cameras that were put on the drop boxes that Georgia distributed across the state, showing people walking in between 12 a.m. and 5 a.m., at the time when people normally vote, with stacks of ballots, sticking them into the box and turning around, taking a picture of themselves in what it looks to be what's known as a ballot harvesting campaign. It's illegal in Georgia and in most battleground states for a third party to deliver someone's votes. They then went and got phone records and showed, while there were 242 people that appeared to have done this, they made more than 5,662 trips to these ballot boxes in the wee hours of the morning during the November election of 2020 and the January 5th Senate runoff. And then they went one step further. They actually secured testimony or statements from one of the participants, one of the ballot harvesters, one of the ballot traffickers, who said, yeah, I did that. I did it for weeks. I got paid $10 for every ballot I harvested. There were many other people like me, and we were organized by a group of nonprofits in Georgia. It was a big operation. All of that went to Brad Raffensperger, and yesterday Brad Raffensperger came on my podcast and said, It's credible enough. We've begun a full-scale investigation, and subpoenas are forthcoming.
Well, that's extraordinary. I'm not a fan of Brad. I'm glad he went on your podcast, and I'm glad you covered it. I'm not a fan because he was so condescending towards some of us that were talking about this issue about a year ago, and he's had a big shift. Obviously, he wants to maybe keep his job or relevancy in the Georgia political scene. So I just want you to repeat some of those numbers because it's so important, and you said them quickly. You said there were 242 people that did this. Is that right? Can you just emphasize?
That's what the complaint alleges.
Yes. Yeah. So let's just – so and a lot of this were Zuckerberg drop boxes, I would imagine, right? So it was
– they are. They're all of them. All of them are drop boxes.
Yeah. So talk about that.
So Georgia law had always allowed for drop boxes, but before 2020, no one ever thought to use them. Obviously, the pandemic came along. Democrats wanted drop boxes. Zuckerberg funds $350 million to voting districts to help them put these mobile ballot boxes out there. Georgia is one of the few states that required a security camera to go on them so you could see what's happening. Here's the problem. They put a camera on them, but neither Brad Raffensperger nor any state officials, Brian Kemp, the Georgia governor, none of them bothered to look at the tape. So they're not a deterrent if no one's going to look at them. To the credit of Catherine Engelbrecht, she went and used open records law, and she got millions of minutes of these surveillance cameras, and she started to see these incredible patterns of people walking in. Some had so many ballots in their hands, they were dropping them on the ground. They were like dropping them like they were extra groceries. And then they're putting them in there, they're taking a selfie picture, and then they're leaving. And the same person would show up time and time again. And that was the first clue that there may have been a large mass harvesting campaign in Georgia. Big numbers. Just let's do some simple math. If every time they came to the box, they only delivered 10 ballots, which, by the way, sometimes it looks like there's a lot more than that. But they did 10 ballots per trip. That would be 56,000 unlawful ballots in a state where only 12,000 votes separated Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Well,
this could be determinative.
Not only that, David Perdue never would have went to a runoff, right?
That's right.
That was super narrow. It was only a couple thousand votes that was between him and the teenager, Ossoff, who's now the senator, right? I call him the teenager because he's
a little older than that, but that's okay.
I'm being intentionally callous because I'm just so bitter.
Of course.
But and he never should have been there, right? And so you have a potential 56,000 vote universe. And forget who they were for. They were probably predominantly Democrat. Let's just – you know, because they were in county areas, but they would have just been subtracted from the entire vote tally. And so what we know, John, is that because of the Center for Technology and Civic Life, because of the COVID hysteria, the mail-in ballots went from 240,000 mail-in ballots that were done in 2018 to 1.2 million mail-in ballots in 2020. And what you're saying now is you're able, because of your reporting and Catherine Engelbrecht, who's a friend of mine, I've known her for years, and I want to have her on the show for a variety of things. We now have a way to connect the dots, right, which is the mail-in ballots that were going in every direction. Now, if this was California, this wouldn't be a big news story because ballot harvesting in California is legal. But in Georgia, it's explicitly illegal. And that's an important point that I want you to build out for our audience, that the fact that if you are carrying more than one ballot, right, I have the New York Times, Wall Street Journal here. Let's pretend these are ballots. As soon as it becomes more than one, it's an illegal transfer. Is that right, John?
Yeah, as long as it's not an immediate member of your family.
They created a carve-out
just for your mother, father, brother, sister, immediate members. But you see the same people coming with 10, 12 ballots night after night. There's no chance they have a family that large. And that's where it becomes prima facie obvious that it was an illegal ballot harvesting campaign. And the cooperating witness, who's named John Doe in the complaint, he describes this operation where these nonprofits create lists of people that they want to get ballots from because they think they're Democratic voters. And they go around and they keep harassing these people until they can get the ballot filled out. And then they take it back to the nonprofit. It gets logged. Okay, take that person off our list. They voted. And then they go at the dead of night and they deliver these ballots. Now, what is this? At the end of the day, people say, well, what's the big deal? Those are people who are entitled to vote. Yeah, the difference is if they didn't deliver the vote themselves, they didn't lawfully vote. And if one side does this, if the left only did it and the Republicans, because they abided by the law, didn't, the Democrats gave themselves an unfair advantage. They cheated in the election.
That's right.
If this is proven, this is cheating.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. And I would go a step further and you know, you could say it conjecture, I'll say it as well, which is we don't know if all these ballots were actually people, right? They could have been ballots that were laying around. You know, I did an event in Georgia in between the election and the runoff, and I asked the audience, how many of you got more than one ballot? Every hand went up. How many of you got more than three ballots? Every hand goes up. So there was a mass mail-in balloting problem of errant ballots, of people that could have been scooping them up, especially college dormitories, people that moved out of state.
In nursing homes it happened. It happened in Wisconsin nursing homes for sure. We know it.
And we reported on it. So did you. And, you know, the most of the mainstream media ignored it. So, John, let me ask you the obvious question that everyone's asking, but I don't know if there's a good answer. What does justice look like in a situation like this?
Well, there are many remedies. The first is that you can prosecute the people who illegally were involved in this. So if you're someone carrying a vote and doing it, you're in violation of law. If you voted that way, you could also be found in violation of law. So the first step will be proving it, then sending the evidence to the state election board, which then refers criminal prosecution to the state attorney general, who's a Republican, to then prosecute these people. In Arizona, already a half dozen people have been accused, and some have already been convicted of ballot harvesting. And there are indications in the court files there that there may have been a much larger scheme. We're going to keep an eye on Arizona. After that, there's a secondary question, because this informant, this alleged witness, John Doe, he describes a network of nonprofit tax-exempt organizations that were facilitating and paying for this. There could be IRS and FBI investigations into the misprision of nonprofit money if that man's allegations turned to be true. So there are multiple phases of this. The third thing is, if we now learn that it went on, you have to make sure that in 2022 it doesn't go on, so we don't have deja vu all over again in Georgia. Our reporting and Catherine Engelbrecht's work indicates that there are at least four states where this most likely occurred in Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Georgia's the most advanced investigation. Arizona's right behind it. Wisconsin is just beginning an investigation, and we're waiting to see what Pennsylvania is going to do. But four battleground states, if all of those had a widespread harvesting campaign, the results in those states can all be called into question.
Yeah, and so what does that mean, John? And I try to taper people's expectations, because immediately people say, well, then we can reinstate, you know, Trump is the winner. Like, I that's not going to happen, right?
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure everyone has a realistic expectation here.
That's right. You're going to bring people to justice. If they did violate the law, they'll be brought to justice. There'll be an exposure how this was conducted. Maybe some of these groups are shut down or penalized if they funded it. And then you go into 2022 with eyes wide open. It's what Glenn Youngkin did to make sure cheating didn't occur in Virginia. It was a much more robust surveillance system that conservatives had on the ground in Virginia. And that's why there were not many questions about the integrity of the Virginia election. That's got to be built. The RNC has never built a good system. They've constantly let the Republican Party down. The Democrats have a very robust system to carry out these sort of things. So I think punishment and accountability, exposure are the first steps, then building foolproof systems, because the 2020 systems were not foolproof, to make sure that 2022, 2024, you don't have this happen again. I think that's the best outcome. You're right. The President Trump is not going to get reinstalled as president. That train has left the depot. One thing the president could do, though, is he could file a lawsuit in these states after the numbers are made available and say, listen, I want, as a symbolic action, for the state legislatures to rescind the certifications as a symbolic option, not to throw Joe Biden out of office, but to make a statement that there was some illegitimacy in the way this election was conducted. I could imagine that happening down the road, but there's a lot of history that has to happen between those things. And the first thing is to find out if the allegations in the True the Vote detailed complaint turn out to be true. If they do, that's a big explosion, a big starting point for a lot of states to shore up election counting in the near future for 2022 and 2024.
Well, John, I trust your reporting, and I trust Catherine. She's a very ethical person. Both of you guys are. And the fact that you guys have this, let's pretend the margin of error is 50%. And it's 20. Let's say it's 23,000 ballots, not the 56. It could be more than 56, by the way. That's still more than enough to make David Perdue senator and Mitch McConnell leader, not Schumer, right? That's still more than enough to have Trump win the state, right? And so this is a massive, explosive report, and you guys are on top of it. So, John, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Charlie. Much appreciated.
JustTheNews.com. Everyone check it out. Okay. I just want to play the sound from the Brad Raffensperger deal, and then I want to play a little Dr. Robert Malone. Play cut 39.
Well, on day one, I outlawed ballot harvesting when I took office in 2019. And now credible evidence was given to us that people were harvesting ballots. Ballot drop boxes were previously allowed under Georgia law, and we put some guardrails on that. One of that was having 24/7 surveillance during the pandemic. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be aware of this. So information was provided to us, and they said there's a...
Yeah, this guy's worthless. And so, I mean, that, he called all of us conspiracy theorists if there was any ballot harvesting. Now he says we have credible evidence while he's playing with his dogs. Well, at least he's looking into it. Okay, so let's get into this story here. Okay, I want to just play more about Dr. Robert Malone. So Dr. Robert Malone went on Joe Rogan, and I want to reemphasize this. Joe Rogan is one of the most courageous people that took a stand against the COVID tyranny that did not have to do it. He did not have to do this, and he has moved the Overton window. He has moved the perspective that people have of the treatments regarding the Chinese coronavirus in a very profound and powerful way. So there is – okay, cut 25. Dr. Robert Malone basically indicts our entire federal government's response to COVID. Now, you might say, who is Dr. Robert Malone? He's the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology. I got a couple texts from non-political friends yesterday. I got a text from a lawyer friend of mine, and he says, Charlie, I listen to Rogan. This Malone guy seems he's legit. Have we been lied to? And in real time, I saw people waking up. It's really special, very powerful. Play cut 25.
Our government is out of control on this, and they are lawless. They completely disregard bioethics. They completely disregard the federal common rule. They have broken all the rules that I know of, that I've been trained on for years and years and years. These mandates of an experimental vaccine are explicitly illegal. They are explicitly inconsistent with the Nuremberg Code. They're explicitly inconsistent with the Belmont Report. They are flat out illegal, and they don't care. And the only thing standing between us, and it's too late for many of our colleagues, including my, you know, the unfortunate colleagues in the DOD, hopefully we're going to be able to stop them before they take our kids.
Robert Malone sat down with Joe Rogan for, what, 3 hours? Robert Malone's coming to our studio next week, right? We're having a whole white coat summit. Who's coming to that, Andrew? We're doing a roundtable. We're going to do a 2 to 3 hour conversation, unedited, about everything. And I want to have more than one of these doctors. We did this back in the summer of 20, and we're going to really dive deep into this. Dr. Malone continued by saying in cut 10 on how the Omicron is a vaccine escape variant. Play cut 10.
There's the high zone tolerance issue. And then there is with the multiple jabs that are mismatched for the current circulating virus. That's akin to repeatedly taking a flu vaccine from two seasons ago and hoping it's going to protect against this flu.
Well, that's one of the more confusing things about this push for people to get boosted now with Omicron, because they keep saying with Omicron we need to get – but that's a vaccine escape variant, isn't it?
Yeah, among other things. So the do you want to open that can of – Omicron?
Well, I want to what we know so far is at least Peter McCullough said this, and I believe several other people have said this as well, that the immunity that you may have had to the Alpha variant or the Delta variant, it does not seem to work very well against Omicron.
That's true.
Nor does the immunity imparted by vaccines.
I just have to reemphasize this. Rogan does not have to be doing this. He's super rich. He was well-liked, comedian, Netflix special, MMA host. There's something special about him. There really is. And he has showed himself to be courageous and wise. 60 million people have listened to his conversation with Peter McCullough. So there's so much more I want to get to with Malone. But if you guys want to hear our conversation, we have Dr. Malone, Dr. Paul Alexander, epidemiologist and global expert on COVID, and Dr. Pierre Corey. Did I say that right? Right? All coming for a White Coat Summit next week on the Charlie Kirk Show. And if you guys have any questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, email them for me to ask them about everything from masks to vaccines to all the sorts of different aspects of this. You guys can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.